It is what Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, what he faced. It's what Frodo Baggins faced in the series Lord of the Rings. It's what Princess Belle faced in Beauty and the Beast. It is what most any protagonist does or faces in any movie. It's the decision between fear and faith, between darkness and light, good and evil. Is it fear or is it faith? Is it darkness or is it light? It's always that tension between good and evil. Now, I have a question. What if this character, the good guy, Luke Skywalker, what if he had chosen the dark side of the Force? What if Frodo Baggins would have succumbed to the power of the ring and had not destroyed it? What if Princess Belle would have chosen Gaston instead of the Beast? What if we, despite being called into the light as children of the light, had fallen into the clutches of fear and had been taken the course toward darkness and unbelief, instead of being drawn into God's love and mercy? Think about that. Instead of being here today, what if you fell off the deep end and got into the world's most trouble and went to the dark side? Star Wars, The Lord of the Rings, The Beauty and the Beast, all those different things would have completely been different and completely having unsatisfying endings. They would be terrible stories. And the same would be true of us if we would choose fear, if we would choose darkness, if we would choose unbelief, even. Or if we would follow the advice of the world, even. To follow the advice which sometimes actually leads us to those things. Fear, darkness, and unbelief. What if? Now, as you know, we're living in a day and age where you can find just about anything you want on the internet. So, as I was preparing for today, I searched this phrase, the choice between fear and faith. Well, lo and behold, one of the first things that came up was this little 5-step instructional program on how to, quote, overcome fear with faith. I was like, this is great. This is right there laid out for me. So there's these 5 steps. Number 1, recognize the difference between fear and faith. This is mysterious, okay? Fear is a learned response, whereas faith is instinctual. Oh, really? Number 2, journal about fear. Explore through journal writing your core fears and list every fear and where you believe it originated, where it came from. Okay. Number 3, dialogue with fear. This was an interesting one. Write a dialogue with a particular fear like you're talking with someone else. This time, try to participate as an outsider looking in. Now I'm starting to lose it. Number 4, reverse fear. Okay. Now think about how life would be different if you didn't have that fear. And number 5, write a list of your beliefs. Determine what constitutes faith for you. Make a list of ways to incorporate these beliefs into your life. Then make a conscious choice between fear and faith. Sounds pretty easy. 5 steps. Although following these steps would be like Luke choosing the dark side. Frodo would be keeping the ring, probably, and Belle would be marrying Gaston. And because all these different steps do this, It all focuses on what I can do to overcome my fear. See that? That kind of that hidden message there? The self-help that was hidden there? I have to recognize the difference between what's good and bad for me. I'm the one that has to journal, and I hate writing journals. I'm the one that has to come up with this crazy dialogue, and I'm the one that has to reverse fear. Okay, so if I have to reverse fear, why am I searching how to reverse it? How am I supposed to know? How do I write a list of my beliefs? And what if those beliefs are off base? I could be buried further in fear and darkness than when I first started. 5 steps? Okay. What if our psalm writer from the Bible today said this: I am my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I am the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What if you and I would say that? Sometimes we want to feel like we are. That we're our own self-made person. That we're the strongest one in our lives. I'm my own light and salvation. I can get what I want by working hard. What if you and I would say that? What if we have said that to ourselves? Are you your own light and salvation? Probably not. I'm not going to speak for you, but when I look down deep inside in me, all I see is sin and darkness. And I'm supposed to be the pastor. I'm a sinful person. When I try to will my way out of being less worried or scared or afraid or fearful even, I can only get myself so far. I can never really bring myself into the light. I can never really find a firm foundation inside of myself. I am too just sinful. My faith too is just as shaky sometimes. And my willpower is just too sometimes weak. If I had my own light and my own salvation, if I had to be the one and only source of strength for my own life, I think I would live in complete and total worry and fear all the time. No 5-step program is going to help that. So, the good thing is we don't have to. I think that's the secret to all these self-help programs like that, as us as Christians. You don't have to do these things. Because God is already doing them, and God already has done them. You see, one day as Jesus was speaking and healing and teaching, he heard some people saying the same thing going on to a local teacher, a synagogue ruler. Your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But Jesus went right over to the ruler and said to him, "Do not fear, only believe." Now, in other words, he's saying this: don't be afraid. Don't look to yourself for help. Because if you look to yourself, yeah, she's still going to be dead. So trust me and just believe in me. Jesus went to the ruler's house and went into this 12-year-old girl's room, raised her up from the dead with simply his word, brought her back from darkness to light with his word, and drove out the fear of her father and mother with just this simple God-given faith. Now, as I'm thinking of this story that we talked about, what if that synagogue ruler, that important person, had chosen to try to raise his own child from the dead? It'd be kind of like a horror film, I think. It'd be like something really crazy. It wouldn't happen. What if he had concentrated with all his might that she would cross over from darkness to light? Well, the result would be pretty much the same, maybe pretty tragic. And that's because every single human being, whoever was and whoever is, inside them is only darkness and weakness and death. Even us as Christians, we, I think, Even though we try to be good and we're usually good people, we do good things, deep down inside we can't help but just be just like the world, in need of help. That's because every human being there is only darkness and weakness and death. But in Jesus, this is why we're here, in Jesus there is light and strength and life. Gospel according to John begins with these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing, anything that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Another example, long ago on a mountain, Moses, this Old Testament character, asks God if he could see him face to face. It's a pretty bold move there, Moses. Now, as it is with all prayers, Jesus and God could answer us the same way. It could be yes, sure. It could be no, no way. It could be, okay, let's wait. In this particular instance, when Moses went to God, the answer God gave was wait. It was about 1,000 years later that Moses' prayer actually was answered, believe it or not. There was on another mountain the day after Jesus' transfiguration. Jesus was seen speaking face to face with Moses and Elijah. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint on His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Pretty important stuff when we are still sitting in the dark. So, if we're going to try to come up with a five-step way to deal with having faith instead of fear, I think we need to kind of remember that there is a difference between the two. It's pretty obvious, but there's a difference between darkness and light. You see, fear is something that is always inside of us. And contrary to what the world will tell you, faith can only be in Jesus. On our own, we can't have faith. It's a bold statement, but it's true. Only God is the one that can create faith in us. That's we're saved by faith, and we can't even contribute faith to God. It's another gift. Think of it this way. When we baptize little children, which in a couple of weeks we will be, that little infant sometimes can't really do a whole lot for itself. It has to depend on its mother and father, godparents, grandparents, just to get along. But yet, we acknowledge that faith is there. Because faith has nothing to do with your Bible knowledge, your intellect, your brain power, how much you can contribute to your faith. It's solely in the power of God. And that's the greatest thing. That's where I want faith to be resting upon. I want my faith to be because of God. Fear is inside of us, but faith is always in Jesus. Darkness is always inside of me, but light is in Jesus. You see, everything resides in God because He is the one who won forgiveness for our lives. When we tried, but we simply couldn't do it. God is the one who won salvation for us, even though we tried and did a shoddy job at it. As Jesus said to the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, only believe." There's no five-step program, there's no demands, there's no expectation on you. Simply trust in God, and you can do everything. Not on your own power, but everything in God. So, there you have it. Faith and fear. Now, I admit, sometimes it seems a little bit easier said than done. In this age of anxiety in our lives, and we have fears and worries and distrust and mistrust and shaky foundations, when those things are all around us, while we could go ahead and jump to a bookstore and go to the self-help section and try to find a five-step process to overcome our problems, the psalm writer gives us a little bit of a better way. When our life is full of worry, when we're full of fear, when we don't know where to turn to, whom to trust anymore, the natural thing for us to do is turn straight to prayer. There is nothing at all wrong with that. Some people will say that it's just wishful thinking, but prayer changes things. If you don't believe me yet, just simply say a prayer today. It could be this afternoon, it could be this evening when you go to bed, and watch what God will do. He might answer you right away, yes. He might say, no, better change the way you're praying. But he also could say, wait, I'll take care of it, you just wait. So, when we confess God and his goodness and pray, and sometimes wait, we realize, too, that waiting is another gift of God, just like our faith. Waiting on God is not just sitting around and waiting. Biblical waiting, when God says to wait, is like a farmer. A farmer will go out and plant his corn in the spring or whatever crop. And does he just leave it behind and let it do its thing? No, it'd be terrible. There'd be weeds everywhere. Waiting for us as Christians means that while we trust God to work, we still are currently doing things. The psalmist encouraged us to wait actively, even though God is our stronghold and God is our light. While we wait, we find ourselves active in worship. We're seeking God's light. We're seeking strength. We find ourselves helping other people. We're giving to people in need. We're showing kindness. We're showing love. And we're active. And that's what waiting looks like. It's just more trust in God. So, remember that not you, but the Lord is your stronghold in your life. Not you, not anybody else, not your money, not your possessions, not your job, not your car, not your house, not your family. The Lord is your stronghold in your life. He is your light. So who shall be afraid? Faith in Jesus is what overcomes our fears. The light of the Lord is what overcomes darkness. Luke Skywalker went to the good side of the Force, thank goodness. Frodo Baggins destroyed the ring, and Princess Belle chose the Beast. And they all lived happily ever after. You and I have been called to a similar life. We've been called to live in God's light as children of the light. To go out into this very, very dark world and shed some light on people. Now, it's important, even though we might be needing God, there's other people that need God probably more. And you're going to be the only one that will help them see God, maybe. You are now the light into the world. As Christians, we've been given that gift and that same strength. It could be a simple gesture in your workplace that will bring someone to trust in God, to not worry about their life, to think about how God is taking control. You have that light in you right now. You have that salvation in you right now. You are all little Jesuses for someone. You have been called into the light, and you possess that foundation of faith which drives out all fear, and you don't need any other program for that. That is what you have right now, and that's what you get to have forever. And one day it will be still once more another one of these stories that ends happily ever after. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.